All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
Stephanie, remember when we first started the podcast and we were clueless about where to start?
I'm pretty sure we're all clueless, Natalia, but lucky for you, I knew the perfect place to start, Anchor.
We are lucky that we found Anchor, and even more lucky that we found each other. But our listeners don't need luck now that they know if they want to start their own podcast, Anchor is the way to go.
Anchor is everything you need to have a podcast. With both a desktop and mobile app, we can record, edit, and launch all of our content within one program. Natalia and I think of Anchor as our daddy.
Daddy Anchor gives us one easy place where we can build all the episodes, and it automatically launches to all the best listening platforms like Spotify and Apple. It's my favorite kind of relationship. Anchor gives me everything I want, and it's free.
When you're ready to start a podcast, Anchor is going to make it easy. And then you will all realize how two armchair detectives like us managed to pull this off. Available on the App Store, Google Store, basically anywhere where you do a Google search, you can find it right there.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
It's always a good idea to hit record.
I know. That's I'm not firing on all synapses. But
you said you had a story and you wanted me to remind you to
tell me. I did send you a couple of pictures. So as you know, I've been staying in South Dakota, which, I mean, for South Dakota purposes, I'm in a larger town, but I had purchased a shirt from like a gift shop from somewhere, and I don't even know which place, and it, from what I understood, it was in the women's section of a gift shop near like the children's clothes, just, you know, how they have them hanging on the wall next to coffee mugs and stuff. And I just bought the brightest color because I was like, no one else in the world will have this, and it's kind of cute, and I'll have it as like my bum around shirt or like nighttime shirt or whatever. So
yeah, why not?
I was sitting at the table at Topgolf and just minding my own business and taking in the scenery. And what do I see from like all the way down the aisle is like a 60-year-old woman wearing the same exact shirt. And I was like, are you serious? I saw it's like a Mount Rushmore shirt. And I saw the president's head peeking over the chair. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I thought I bought this like at a unique store, like 10 hours away from here. So I tried to sneakily take a picture. I totally got busted taking the picture, but I don't really care. And so I showed a couple of people, some of the girls, but I was like, hey, remember this shirt for later. And they're like, okay, weirdo. And then later that night, I put my pajamas on and I'm wearing that shirt because I had packed it that night. That was the only other shirt I had with me. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know. That's really, really random.
It's so random. And I'm like, that's weird. And it's not even like a normal color, like black or gray. It's like turquoise.
No, it's the one you were wearing in that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not like a normal shirt. It's, that shirt is special.
I know.
I don't know how to describe it in another way. It's very colorful. It's got a very original pattern. It's not something that you would just see on a lot of other people.
No. And it was literally like just something I got for, you know, literally, you know, the socially unacceptable comfy clothes that you wear at home. That's what I got it for. And there's someone else wearing it proudly in public, and I'm like, oh my god, I guess I have this.
All right.
It just goes to show that I have the same taste as a grandma.
But you had the good sense not to wear it out in public like the
grandma. That's true.
So
that is true.
I mean, to me, this was not, I thought you were going to tell me that you were wearing it out at the same time. And I was going to be like, oh my God, I would have died. But this wasn't that bad. This wasn't that bad. Yes, you have the same taste as an old lady. That's not just bad because you showed up to the party with wearing the same dress as another girl.
Yeah.
It's like the oldest lady in the room.
I know.
But that's not that bad. I mean, that's fine. It's fine to have old lady taste as long as we keep them to ourselves in our houses where we can be old, comfortable cat ladies. What can I tell you? I just was at the mall and I bought myself, and I don't even know if it's in, if it's hip, if it's whatever the hell it is. I was in Forever 21, not for myself. I can't wear that shit anymore, but I was in there getting some clothes for my daughter, and they had what was essentially a muumuu, but like with like a silky satiny fabric, and they wanted girls to like wear this outside, and I was like, absolutely not, but I'll wear that inside 100%. And it has pockets. Absolutely.
Oh
yes. I
like
all day
real
long
pockets.
Yeah I mean decent pockets, not
nice,
not amazing pockets, but decent pockets.
Love a good muumuu though.
I know you don't come across those every day. It was like a real nice one, so I was like, absolutely. I don't know if you've been into like the malls lately. I feel like every single shoe, every single dress, every single purse looks exactly like what I had in my closet in 1995, 97. Real strong Delia vibes. Everything is jelly shoes, wedges. Yes, the limited two. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's all of it. And all I keep thinking is, I'm old. I'm really old. And everything that like my parents said about, oh, you know, everything comes back around, it's fucking true. And I'm old and it's sad. It's hitting hard. It's hitting different now.
I was thinking the same thing too, because, you know, the Steve Madden, the chunky black wedge.
Yes.
Sandals with like this.
They're so strap. In right now.
They're so in. I got something similar, not as thick of a wedge, but I got something like pretty much the same thing, I would say. And I'm so happy because those are the most comfortable, because you can kind of wear those almost anytime and get away with it. And
yes,
so I bought some for this summer.
Those shoes.
I'm
I
so
had
glad
those
that they're back.
Platforms. Yeah, but I'm like, I was there today. I saw the Steve Madden ones and I'm looking at them. I'm holding them in my hands and I'm thinking, I had these shoes not that long ago. I threw them away because they were so old and beat up. Honestly, they were so torn up. I mean, they were so embarrassing. Mm. But beyond that, I was like, I thought to myself, these are never going to come back. Why am I holding on to these? Now I'm holding them in my hand inside the department store. They're $85. And I'm thinking, absolutely fucking not. I bought these not that long ago for $20 at Payless. What is going on here? This is madness. I know that it didn't cost them anything to make all this foam. It's basically a bunch of foam that they stack together. That is all. And it makes me really pissed because I know how fucking cheap it is. So I'm just like, absolutely not. I refuse to wear these. Mm-hmm. I will continue to wear my $5 flip-flops from Old Navy until they break. I'm done.
I love those flip-flops, especially when they do like 2 for $5.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Awesome. You remember when they used to be $1? Oh, my God. We sound so
old.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
I can't. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I have an unexpected little thing just to send over to the fuck you corner real quick. And it's something it's breaking my heart. So this is sort of also a slash recommendation. I've been listening to the Jordan Harb, I hope I say this right, Harbinger show.
Okay.
I'm going to just pull this up on my phone real quick. I don't want to fuck this up because it has a really good show. He has hundreds of episodes. He's been around for a really long time. Jordan Harbinger show. Okay. Anyway, it's a very eclectic show. It's one of those shows that like every week they talk about something like really different. He talks to authors. He talks to like basketball players. And it's always about like little things in life that you can sort of try to incorporate. Like, I don't know, like how to be a better defensive driver or how to drink more water without really thinking about it. Like little life tips, but he speaks to really interesting people. So today they talked about toothpaste. And I'm sorry to say we are going to send toothpaste to the fuck you corner.
Really?
And I'm going to send you the link, but I really encourage everybody to go. I listened to it on Spotify, and I'm going to tell you right now, it was episode 672, Skeptical Sunday Toothpaste. And I listened to it today. It's a little over half an hour. And they talk about how toothpaste that we are putting in our mouths every day, some of us two or three times a day, is absolutely packed with chemicals that are not supposed to be in our bodies. We should not be putting it in our mouths. It's a scam. And it's terrifying how long we've been absentmindedly putting toothpaste in our mouths. It's an entire lifetime of marketing and conditioning that we've never stopped to question, to the point where even dentists, if you stop and ask them about this, they don't know some of these chemicals are in toothpaste. Like chemicals that are in antifreeze, things like silica, like, you know, those little packets that are supposed to absorb moisture that say, do not consume. Yeah, that's in your toothpaste. And if you go and walk into your bathroom and flip your toothpaste over, you will find a warning that says that if you eat toothpaste, you're supposed to call poison control.
Like, do not
ingest. This is a problem. Right, right. And they were talking about how if you go online, for most toothpaste brands, you will not be able to find the ingredients in your toothpaste. And it's
brand to use then? Like just baking soda?
So they said that if you go to their website, they listed the top 15 quote unquote like natural brands that they felt were most transparent about their ingredients, as well as links to like the top most popular toothpaste brands that basically they went into with a dentist to click on links. And even the dentist was like, I had no idea this stuff was in toothpaste. Like I had literally no idea. Yeah, it was shocking. So not telling people what to do with their teeth. They did admit that it's one of those things that there's just not enough research out there for us to really know how detrimental it is. But it's one of those things that it's like, we know we're poisoning you, but it's only a little poison. So don't worry about it. So it's really, how comfortable are you with putting things continually into your body and not questioning it? And if you're okay with that convenience, then that's fine. You can continue to not worry about it. And I have no judgment. But if you're kind of curious, go check out that podcast. Go check out that episode. And I know that I am personally now going to go and never again use Colgate. So fuck you, corner toothpaste. Boom. I'm sending you the link. So go listen.
Yeah, I wanna listen to that. And kind of similarly on, I don't know if it was like Netflix, Instagram, TikTok, pick one, but it's a guy who shows you how to, I don't know if it was like scam or save money or how other things are a scam, But he was picking up toothpaste. He goes, all right, find the most expensive tube of toothpaste you can find. So he went and found it. He showed the price. And then he goes, all right, now let's go find the cheapest thing in toothpaste. And so it was like a generic whatever brand. And then he takes them each out of the box. And then he shows like to the camera the active ingredients. And he's like, all right, they're the exact same. So why are you paying $6 for this when you can get the same ounces for this and it's the same ingredients? And I was like,
yeah, you know,
that's I don't know, maybe he's got something there.
I'm really iffy about that thing because yes, I do realize that there are many instances when we pay for a brand when you could get a not brand version, the store brand or the small company brand, and it's going to be the same thing and you should not be paying more money just because it's a big brand. However, I will say this, certain products, even if they have the same quote unquote active ingredient, their fillers will not be the same. And I say this especially for products I use on my face and makeups, just because something has similar ingredients, they may not use the same amounts, the same percentage strengths, the same, like the same amounts of like the chemicals. And so I'm always very careful, like some things, like that's fine. Like for me, like foods, especially, like I do not feel I need to use Barilla pasta if I can get Stop and Shop pasta. Because fucking pasta's pasta. It's wheat. But when it comes to like certain chemical compositions, and you have to kind of play around with it, toothpaste probably doesn't matter. A lot of shampoos doesn't matter. But like certain face washes, I can tell if I'm using a knockoff brand or if I'm using a brand that has more natural soaps and aloes and like a higher quality product. So you got to be careful because sometimes you do get what you pay for, if you know what I mean.
I agree. There's a couple of things that I will never buy generic, and one of them is ketchup. I always get the same kind of ketchup. Can't do off-brand. I'm sorry. It just does not taste the same. Got to do normal ketchup. And then, you know.
Everybody has a thing. This is Stephanie's thing is ketchup, guys.
That's all my thing. I'm sorry. If you want to write in and tell me that I'm being bougie about my ketchup, I don't care. I'll fight you. No, I'm just kidding.
Guys, tell us what is something that's really run of the mill, but for some reason you refuse to go off brand. Okay, yeah. So for Stephanie, it's ketchup. All right, let me think of what's something really simple that I refuse to go off brand. Okay, this is going to sound so bizarre, but I swear I feel a difference. I refuse to go off brand for allergy medication.
Really?
Say what you want, and I'll go off brand for Tylenol. But for some reason, for my Allegra and for my Flonase, I will not get store brand. I have to get the brand. I don't know if it's a placebo effect, but if I don't get the brand, if I get like CVS brand Allegra, I swear to God, it doesn't work.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny because I totally have like generic allergy pills with me right now.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about you with the ketchup. I'm like, ketchup? Who cares what kind of brand ketchup it is? I just don't want it to have high fructose corn syrup, but who cares what brand it is? So I want everybody to tell us what is the random thing in your house that you are bougie about. I want to know now.
Exactly. I'm sure it's so funny.
I know people are going to be like random things like toilet paper or their brand of Q-tips. I know people got some weird shit. I want to hear it. I'm all about this. The little things that make us bizarre.
I love it. Okay. So for today's episode, I told you I have one option. It's like a Florida man. But I was looking through some of my old, like, stuff that I've written, and I have a couple in there that I wrote a really long time ago, and I never did. I don't know why. Probably because I was, like... I mean,
they're, like, complete... They're complete stories, like, start to finish?
Yes. So, if you want... We can, you have an option of what you want to hear.
Oh my God. I'm flattered. Want, let me hear what the buffet is.
All right. Do you want something creepy and weird? Do you want something from a long time ago, like 1500s? Or do you want something sort of recent, like 50 years ago?
How about something creepy? Let's switch it up. Let's do something different.
Okay.
Let's go. Alrighty. Let's go all the way left field.
Alrighty. So this, I'm glad you picked it because this was my original idea. This is the story of Carl Tanzler. And there are some places where you might see his name as Carl Tanzel. And that's because he was born in Germany and immigrated to America. So there are different spellings of his name for today's purposes. He's going to be probably just Carl, since there's so many different spellings of his last name.
Okay.
Does that sound good? Carl. Sorry. Not Carl. Just kidding.
Every time I hear Carl, I think of The Walking Dead. So that's all I hear when I hear Carl.
Carl.
Carl. They just met that dumb kid. He pissed me off every episode. I couldn't get into his character.
He was such a little brat, wasn't he? Right. Like,
he was.
What a little shit.
For somebody who had to watch his own mother die, he really needed to get like with the program.
I mean, yeah, that sucked, but, like, look at the world you're living in. That's not that bad. I'm sorry.
I mean, you lost an eye. You lost your eye. Come on, dude.
Come on, dude. All right. I digress. This is the story of Carl Tanzler. He was born in 1877. As George Carl Tanzel in Germany, and after graduating from university in the medical field, World War I had broken out, and he actually ended up in an internment camp in Australia. So after he was released from the internment camp, he was not allowed to stay in Australia whatsoever. So he was just deported. They just shipped everyone that was in the camp back to Europe, whether Holland was their home or not. That was just their next, like, stopping point. So it was post-war Europe, and he did not find any kind of life for him. And some of his family, like his sister, had already moved to America to escape the war. So he thought that he would do the same. Carl's sister had already moved to Zephyr Hills, Florida. So he immigrated there with his wife and two daughters. On his immigration papers, however, in 1926, Carl's name was then changed to Carl Tanzler von Kassel. So it's another name change.
Just this making name yourself change, sound bigger.
Yeah.
All right.
It's gonna
don't
get
trust people
hurt.
Who do random name changes. It's
suspicious. It is suspicious. So this name choice, it was not an accident whatsoever, because Carl loved telling stories, and he had this huge imagination, and he would tell people that he had a relative named like a Countess von Kassel. And while growing up, he claimed that this ancestor or a ghost would visit him, like a spirit would send him visions of this, like, beautiful dark-haired woman who would he would grow up and fall in love with, and that would be his true love, who he was supposed to marry and have children with. But he was already married and had kids, so I can't imagine how his wife felt. And I don't know if she had long, dark, flowing hair, but I don't know. Red flag. That's...
Yeah, absolutely. Red flag.
However, in 1927, he left his family in Zephyr Hills, which is like the left side of Florida, and he got a job as an X-ray technician in the Marine Hospital in Key West. So after 3 years, Carl met a woman named Elena De Hoyos. So she was known as the beauty of Key West. She was the daughter of a Cuban American family. I think she was first generation. I think her parents were actually Cuban, and I think she was born in America. Her father was a cigar maker and her mom was a homemaker. At the time, Elena was actually legally married, but unfortunately she couldn't bear children, and after she had a miscarriage, her husband left her, so she was back home with her family. That's why she was there. And since she was sick, that's why she was obviously at the hospital. Tuberculosis, it was obviously running pretty rampant, especially within the Oyos family. And Elena's mother had brought her in for the examination, and having met Elena, Carl realized that Elena is the image from his childhood, that this is the countess that he would see in his dreams. So his I just like lost my spot where I was reading. Sorry.
Nope. That's okay. That's right. Look for it. We'll cut this part out.
So he has, he realized this is the image of his loved one from his childhood visions. Carl, even though he did have his medical knowledge from university, he also used a lot of like self-professed medical knowledge. And I'm just guessing back then, no one really asked. I'm sure if he said it confidently enough, they were just like, yes, yes.
You could pretty much say whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
And if you were a man and you said it in a way that made it sound like you knew what you were talking about, people let it go.
Yeah, because he's an X-ray tech. And yes, he did graduate from some university when he was in Europe. But when he's speaking to Elena and Elena's family, he basically weasels his way inside the family. And he begins to treat Elena for her tuberculosis inside the family home. And during this time, she's on her deathbed. He is treating Elena with gifts like clothes and jewelry. He's trying his damnedest to cure her, but he's not an actual doctor.
Clothes are not going to fix that.
No, they're not. He comes up with his own... Yeah, he comes up with his own little cure-all for her. I don't know how he came up with them, but unfortunately, the illness came over in October 25th, 1931. Elena, unfortunately, died of tuberculosis complications, and that's not even the worst part. After permission of her family.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
It is bad.
That's pretty. I mean, she had to bear with that son of a bitch, like feeding her fake medicine and bothering the shit out of her. Like, she didn't get any peace those last few months. He wouldn't get out of her fucking face.
Yeah.
So she died while he's annoying. Like, on her last fucking nerve, she finally dies. That's pretty bad, but okay. Go on.
The only way she could get away from him was dying. Or so she
Holy died. Shit. Oi. Come on.
So, after the permission of her family, Carl constructed an above-ground tomb in the Key West Cemetery in her honor and in her memory. Elena's mother was even allowed Carl to keep a memento of her hair, like a lock of her hair. So it was just, it was only a few months. And so he was an x-ray tech. He weasels his way into the house and showers her with gifts. And unfortunately, she passes away. And then you're like, your nurse, quote unquote nurse, is like, can I please pay for the funeral, pay for the mausoleum? And then can I also have a memento of her hair? And then...
No, you may not. What the fuck?
And then the mausoleum... The only key he made, he kept for himself. No one ever said anything about it. And I think it's just because the family was more distraught or maybe more upset. It's not like they didn't go visit it. It's just,
excuse me, where's the key to get inside? Nobody ever said, hey, was built, like, that's like you buy a new car and then you're standing mm-hmm. in the lot patting your pockets and you're like, okay, cool, where's the keys to the car? Like, what do you mean there's no keys?
Yeah, Carl basically made that mausoleum basically for himself, and little did the family know that Carl would use that key to visit Elena's mausoleum every single night. For 2 years he visited her every day. In 1933, he was eventually fired from the hospital, and the visit stopped. The visit stopping sort of triggered kind of a rumor mill, which Elena's sisters did hear about, and it gave them kind of a heads up that something was wrong, but no one did anything to, like, kind of nip it in the bud. They just were like, oh, Carl isn't stopping around anymore. But they were like, well, if he's not visiting anymore, maybe he is over her finally. So they just left it at that because there was like nothing more to do beyond that at that time.
So, yeah, but wouldn't you still want the key finally to your daughter's mausoleum? Like, okay, fine, you're not going to come around anymore, but who's going to give me my fucking copy of the key? Like, as the family, I still need a copy of the fucking key.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. Moving on.
So, this is, I don't know if this is a trigger warning for necrophilia, but this is where it starts. So, soon after he was fired during one of his night visits, a lovesick doctor, Carl, took the body of his loved one from the crypt on like a little toy trolley, like literally a radio flyer. And with the help of wax, plaster, hooks, strings, one report even said it was like literally piano strings, he made Elena's remains look like a living person. And to save on dresses and perfume, he dealt with the smell of the decay all the time. There were even times that he had to stuff her body with rags or newspaper to keep a human shape. Carl had turned Elena into a science project. Since then, and until his arrangement was uncovered in 1940, Carl had never slept alone. He shared his bed with Elena's corpse. So, that's what he did.
Stop. He made her into a doll?
Yes. He put makeup on her. He used wax to make lips and eyes. He used charcoal for eyeliner. And there are pictures of this, so if you do want to go online and see something like that.
Wait, there's pictures of her?
Yes.
No. Oh God, yeah. Pictures. What the fuck?
I'll just keep going. So since Elena's sister, Florinda, heard rumors of Carl sleeping with the body of her sister, she confronted Carl in his home. And that is where Elena's body was eventually discovered. It's because he was caught dancing with her corpse in front of an open window. Florinda notified the authorities, and Tansler was arrested and detained. Tansler was psychologically examined, but he was found mentally competent to stand trial. And this is like straight from Wikipedia, but after a preliminary hearing, after a hearing on October 9th, that's what you're going to get. The Monroe County Courthouse in Key West, Carl was held, but the case was eventually dropped because the statute of limitations for the crime expired.
What?
Yep.
Oh, why?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. This is the thing.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations. Uh-huh. But why stat? Why? But why?
He had her body in his home for 7 years, and the statute of limitations had expired regardless.
All right. So I understand that you need statute of limitations in some cases because it would be unfair to bring someone to be tried for a crime after the witnesses are... that their memories are going to be so unreliable, or they may be dead, or you can't find them, etc. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying I understand that that's the argument for statute of limitations. Yeah. However, in a case where you've stolen a dead body, you didn't have any witnesses to fucking begin with. It's just him and the dead body. You don't need any witnesses. Do you see him? Yeah, he's there. Is her dead body in his house? Yeah, it's laying there. What fucking statute do you need? You don't need a statute because you don't need witnesses. He's clearly guilty. There's no time limit to fucking run out. So that's fucking bullshit. That's straight up bullshit. There's no justice to be served there. Fuck that.
Oh,
sorry.
All right.
Got me very upset. That got me very upset. If that was my kid, if I was her parents, if I was her sister, I would go kill him myself. That's fucked up.
So
that's very upsetting.
This part, all right. So I did find different reports saying that it wasn't true, but I'm willing to bet that it is true. And I know people are probably wondering it. So here we go. After Elena's body was recovered, there was examination of the body, and it showed to what extent had gone in Carl's attempt to be closer. And apparently, supposedly, there was a paper tube made to make penetration easier discovered in Elena's vagina. Yeah.
No.
Contrary to what, I mean, people would expect to, I mean, I would assume that this would be a, like, shocking and kind of taboo case to talk about back in the day. But the perception was that this was an extremely compassionate and lovesick, I mean, he was a necrophile, let's just face it, but he was considered...
Well, he was sick. Sick for sure.
He was They called him just an eccentric romantic. What the fuck?
Oh, okay. Right.
No.
Okay.
He's sick. Not eccentric.
This is like this, Steph. It's okay. This is what we've heard all our lives. Boys will be boys, right? Yeah. It's not a big deal. They're just being boys. That's what they're essentially saying. He's just insane. A little eccentric. It's not a big deal. Like with the peeping Toms, right? Everybody used to think peeping Toms were no big deal. Oh, it's not a big deal until they advance to the next level, which is burglary, and then past that, rape, and then past that, murder. So, but back in the day, everybody just said, oh, it's not a big deal. No big deal. Let's not say anything. He's just being romantic. Mm. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's not being romantic. This is disgusting.
First of all, the disrespect to that body, that anyone could see that as anything other than absolute desecration of a body, that something's wrong with you, okay? Judge, jury, whoever was in that courtroom thinking, oh, he's just romantic. What? Why? Why? She was this young, beautiful girl. She died without this man giving her a fucking minute to herself. And then she wasn't even allowed to be at peace in her death. That is so beyond disturbing. Even if, let's say, they had been a married couple, the idea that one human would keep somebody else trapped and outside of their final resting place is horrifying. And the fact that he did it when they were not a couple, and that's against her will, and any kind of consent it makes my whole skin crawl. That is disgusting. So he didn't go to jail for anything.
He didn't go to jail. The case was dropped. And then to protect Elena's remains from any new impossible, like, intruders or visitors or even or Carl himself.
Or Carl again.
Yeah, they did bury her in an unmarked grave. No one knows where it is. And then 4 years after that, he moved back to Pasco County, like the Zephyr Hills area. I think back to like his sister's house. Or like his family just took him back. And he ended up writing an autobiography, which you can still get today. And he called it Fantastic Adventures. I don't know. Okay. So,
I can't.
According to legend,
a monster.
It's on the internet, so it's gotta be true. And there's a part of me that's
everything on the internet's true. Absolutely.
There's a part of me that's like, this has gotta be real. I don't know. But according to legend, and I don't know how they know this, but until Carl's death in 1952, he still kept a full-size wax doll with Elena's likeness, including a plaster cast of her face. I am dying to know what his wife and two daughters thought about this whole thing. Especially
hold on. Wait. All right. You had me the whole way until that line. That is the most Boo Radley shit I've ever heard. That was straight up To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, you could just see a bunch of sixth graders at a sleepover being like, that guy Carl down the street,
and then
he still has the doll in his living room and they dance at night.
Some say he's still dancing with her in the window.
And if you go up there and you touch the porch, you know what I mean? Like that. that's awesome. Oh, but that's some fucked up shit that he didn't get charged with anything. That's awful. That's really terrible. But I'm going to say this. I've been to Key West. I had no idea about this. And now I'm a little upset that there wasn't like something for me to like go visit. Like, I wonder if they still have the original mausoleum up that you could go visit.
Oh, maybe.
You know, I do have. They might not have torn the original one down, even if her body's not in it.
So I do have, let's see, a picture of the mausoleum. I don't think it was ever destroyed. I will send you these pictures. And I'll send you a picture of Elena when she was sick.
What year was it when she died?
After She died. It was like 1931.
Cool. I mean, not cool that she died, but I mean, creepy story.
Do you want to know something kind of interesting, though? So I mean, just like everyone is upset that even though we all know he did it, we didn't get the, like, trial to say, like, he did it and the confirmation and, you know, him being thrown into jail or anything like that. But when he... So after he had left and written his autobiography, the place where he was living in Key West was being renovated, and there were some papers. So when they were like pulling up, I don't know, furniture and things like that, let me find it really fast because I thought it's like a direct quote. All right. So the note from one of his, some of the papers that were left behind, it reads, "She died because I gave this to her mercifully. I mixed the root of wolfsbane with aconite diluted. It was palatable, and my loved one departed the miserable world on October 25th, 1931. Suffer no more, sweet Elena. I have sent you to the angels with my golden elixir." So, is he,
sick,
I mean,
fuck.
That's basically an admission that he made an elixir.
Never had to read that.
Yeah. He killed her.
Wolfsbane is poisonous. It sounds like he poisoned her, which... I could see somebody sick like that instead of trying to make her better while she was getting sick, trying to kill her instead. Like some weird Munchausen's type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like keeping her sick so that he could keep being by her side. He sounds like that is the kind of weird sick brain he has.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. What a slimy fuck. Is he dead? He's got to be dead.
Yeah, he's dead. He died in like 1952, I believe. But I'm going to send you a picture of Elena right now. And
a picture of her in life?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know that I want to see pictures of her doll self. I get really creeped out by anything with dolls. Oh. She's so pretty. You know what? Looks very much like that Hollywood noir actress of the time, that black and white.
Yeah.
Like that Betty Boop look, very pretty.
Mm-hmm. She,
poor thing.
I think honestly, not that, I mean, Carl was an immigrant also, but her family, I don't know if they just were immigrants also and they didn't have health insurance or they couldn't afford the best like care for her because she was sick and other family members were sick, and so they just like were like, oh yes, he also came to America in earnest, he can help us, or he knows what to do. I don't know, but I just think it's tragic. And then to find out she could have lived longer without his elixirs and.
Yeah, she might have just lived longer if he had left well enough alone. Sure.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, as creepy as he sounds, maybe he was very charming in person. Maybe he was a smooth talker. He was able to smooth talk his way with the parents. Who knows?
Yeah.
He definitely sounds like he's very full of himself, a real narcissist. So people like that are often, they can be real good salesmen in person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
slimy like that. But they can sell you something real quick on the lot. So some people get bowled over like that.
Yeah, and I just, the whole thing of Carl being like, okay, so you know how I was gone for like 5 years and I totally left you guys in the state of Florida and was in Key West. But, well, can I just like move back home? And his family was like, sure, welcome back. Like, what the fuck? What the I don't think I would open my doors back up for a man who's like, I think he's well, fired.
So that was his sister? That wasn't his wife, was it?
I'm pretty sure it was his wife and daughters and sister. I think it was the whole family. Because they all lived in the same town. And so I'm willing to bet, I think they stuck together.
Wow. Absolutely not. Absolutely no. Fucking not. I would have said, whatever you went and you found in Key West, that's what's left for you. Bye.
Right?
Bye. We've lasted this. We have lasted this long without you. I'm mm-hmm. going to let you fucking back in. Get the hell out of here. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know what it was like for them. It was a different time. It was a lot harder for women to get by without a man. You know, you basically couldn't even open up a fucking bank account without a man back then. So
true.
Maybe they just needed him to walk into a bank, you know, to walk them down the street. Who knows?
Yeah, we in certainly which case, do not know you gotta that situation. You got to do what you got to do.
Right? They might have just needed him to use him, in which case, do what you got to do, ladies.
Yeah.
We can't judge maybe them. But ick. Yeah, they might have just had to. They might have just had to and done it because they were in their own
necessary. Part. Not.
Yep. Not because they were all happy about it. So we don't know and we can't judge them.
Mm-mm. But yeah.
So oh, that's the story. God, Steph, that was a wild curveball. Thanks. Thanks. That's one way to start off the week.
Yeah. You know, rest easy. Make sure you have specific plans if you're ever sick. Don't let any weirdos, any x-ray techs into your home. Absolutely what other good not. Advice?
Well, hold on. Wait, what do they look like though? What do these x-ray techs look like?
I don't know.
Asking for a friend. like Carl sounds like this old putzy man who is just like this ugly leech, but I mean, are we talking about like a hot x-ray tech coming in?
That I don't could be know
like a new kind of they hospice work, service
they work in a windowless room all day and they are constantly like are x-ray techs normal people? They can't be.
They're not. They're not. They can be kind of freaky, but you know that's not always a bad thing. If you want to go on a wild ride out, if you want to go out with a bang, so I'm just saying I don't like to draw any lines, Steph. I don't like to draw any lines, but I will agree with you that everybody should have a plan for what you want when you get sick. You should have a living will. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or if you're 98. If you haven't thought about it, you should think about it. We know it sounds morbid, but it's actually just a really smart life planning thing. You can just write something down, have your doctor put it in your file at the office. You could put it in your file at the hospital mm-hmm. or just scan it into your phone. Just saying, you know, what kind of life you want and how you want to be taken care of and things like that. It's just a good idea. So I am bored on with that. I'm on board with that.
That's yes. Cool. Otherwise, Carl will get you.
Yeah. Don't go with no Carls. No Carls. No thanks.
All righty.
Only x-ray texts that look like Ryan Reynolds. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. True.
In which case, you know.
In which case, all of them. Yep. Yeah. All of them. They can take care of me.
Yep.
All right. Listen, stay safe and stay hydrated. All right.
Stay hydrated.
Your turn to hydrate.
Wear your sunscreen.
All right. And keep all your organs to yourself. Just always watch your six.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Keep an eye on your cousins. Cousins are wild. They be wiling. Keep them close.
I will. All right.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Bye. All right, later.
Hey everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.